from the 48-yard line. Here's Hoyer back to pass. Looking, lobbing. Cameron caught it. He's got it all the way. 10-5 touchdown.
Well, that was pretty much a one-receiver route.
What a throw by Hoyer. He dropped it in the bucket, and the bucket were the hands of Jordan Cameron, 52 yards.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's time now for the Roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Blue Point Grill on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It's the best seafood restaurant in town, according to the Silver Spoons Award, which it has won every single year since it's been open, and that's a reputation earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. And with a name like Blue Point, you know oysters are a big deal. Over 75,000 shucked every single year, so make a reservation right now. Blue Point Grill, that's grill with an E, bluepointgrill.com. Get some huge crab legs, succulent lobster tails, fresh scallops, ahi tuna, and not just seafood. They've got great steaks as well. It is the place to be downtown. Great service makes it truly a VIP experience. And joining us now is a VIP. He is the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, what a day yesterday. Initial thoughts after that big win.
Well, it was just great. I mean, it was great in every aspect. I mean, the town enjoyed it. The players enjoyed it with the town. I mean, it was really great. It wasn't gimmicky. I mean, you know, and I go back. Matt was outside in the press lounge just before I went in the booth, just before the game, and we went over, and he said, you know, it's time to win the game. I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, it's time to win the game. I mean, it's time to beat these guys. You know, you're not going to need gimmicks here. You're a good football team. You're solid in every area. You're playing well. Now it's time to go out and win it. Use the crowd to your advantage. So I thought it was all working, and I think it's tremendous. The numbers are. They're startling that you would only complete 8 passes in the game,
right?
And be able to dominate the game the way they did. I thought it's amazing how they did it.
Is this in your mind, and this is for everybody here on the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill, the biggest win the Browns have had since they've come back?
Boy, well, it might be.
I thought my 10 wins were great because I'm going to say, good.
I wanted your perspective on that, though.
We didn't win many games, but when we did win, it was really nice. So every
game
was big.
I have to tell you, yeah, I mean, those were big games. The year they went 10-6, I mean, they knocked off Seattle in overtime here. That was a great game. Dominated Baltimore early in the season, and the Bengals early in the year, and I thought that kind of got you guys going,
right?
And got it going. But this was
this is big.
This is big because of who it was, you know, and who it came against. Because I mean, if we've beaten these guys in the past, it's been because of a wild Josh Cribbs return or something like that.
This was a beatdown.
And I would also say too, is it just again, think about what has happened since you guys went 10-6, and you're talking about that season.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I mean, we're talking we're under our fourth head coach. We're talking different general managers. How many umpteen quarterbacks between now and then? We finally have a guy. He's from here. It's a story that is being written right now. We've opened a new book, it seems, with Ray Farmer, Jimmy Haslam, and Coach Mike Pettine. Yeah.
There's no question, and you're seeing the national media coming around, listing the Browns in the top 16 of the NFL for the first time in seemingly probably since your season, Joe, back when you guys went 10-6. And it was, I think, a very special, very meaningful game. One thing we're asking people to do here on the show today is give out 3 game balls.
Yeah.
So, Jim, if you could give out 3 game balls, who gets
them? Well, I'm going to give one to Brian Hoyer because I thought he was terrific. I'm going to give one to Buster Skrine. Skrine was really good yesterday. And the secondary, you know, sometimes they haven't been even in the screen, as we would say. Yes. You know, they haven't been in the frame sometimes. So I thought Buster Skrine all of a sudden got a play early in the game, and I thought his confidence grew. And it was going to be tough for anyone to, you know, get a good spot on him. I thought Hayden made a nice play late in the game when he went up in the end zone.
Beautiful play.
And that was a little bit – that was the first time I thought Joe Hayden looked like Joe Hayden so far this year. But and I'm going to give – I'm going to say, hey, John Greco. Great job. I mean, on the fly like that, have to move, and that was a devastating moment. I mean, here's a guy, Alex Mack, who had missed a snap in his entire career, and suddenly he's down there. And Greco went right over, worked with Hoyer right in front of you while they were attending to Alex Mack and went out. And I have to tell you, they didn't miss a beat. Now, I know it's a devastating loss, but, you know, Greco did what you have to do, that next man up philosophy.
Greco was great. McQuiston stepped in, played very well, rushed for 95 yards in the second half. And I'm glad you brought up Buster because – I thought he struggled a little bit in that game against Tennessee. Obviously, the double move to Justin Hunter, and to see him come back the way he did. He was targeted 11 times, only gave up 4 catches for 47 yards, had the interception, 2 passes defense. He played a very strong game. And it really was a team effort on both sides of the ball for 60 minutes. Well, maybe we'll give them 45 the first quarter. But the defense did good in the first quarter. But just a great game for the Cleveland Browns. Defensively, what stood out to you guys as the biggest changes that allowed them to be so successful?
I thought Dansby really controlled the game. I thought he played a real captain's game in the middle. And I think that's really important. I thought he did a really good job. I think he realized we're a little light up front today as far as manpower is concerned. This whole Terrence West thing, you know, has a John Hughes chapter to it, because John Hughes had to sit out. He was a healthy scratch, he was not happy about it. And so he got back in yesterday, and look at what he did. Now, Terrence West is going to have to do that, okay? I was listening to you guys when I was driving in, and, I mean, here's a guy that was, you know, I mean, this guy was a highly thought of high school star, and because of grades, a lot of schools couldn't touch him, so he was out of the game, couldn't get in. And for a guy to be out of the game and to get to this level, you know, I hope that he realizes that, you know, you got to pull the rope the right way here.
Exactly.
Or you're not going to be pulling, your hands aren't going to be on the rope anymore. So I thought that Hughes played very well up front. And the secondary came back a little bit.
I think they did. And let me ask you, Matt, because it's, once you get down, you know, Armani Bryant goes out. You're down to 3 defensive linemen, right? Hughes, Kitchen, and John Hughes. Hughes, Kitchen, and Desmond Bryant, I'm sorry. Kitchen cannot play every snap. So a lot of the game, they were playing with 2 down linemen,
yeah,
and using linebackers as linemen. As a former linebacker yourself, what did you think of what they were able to accomplish given the limitations they had up front?
It's great. And when you talk about this defense, and you asked Jim that question, I just said my point was it's confidence. And you talked about Dansby.
Yeah, Dansby.
I saw,
yeah,
Dansby leading, and I saw Whitner,
yes,
leading. You
absolutely
know, Whitner was go right over to Gibson to pull him away from a Steeler. He would say, Gip, this is the coverage we're in. Or he'd even walk over to screen. You know, and I talked about those doubles on Antonio Brown. Whenever even Joe Hayden was playing the technique, you know, improperly, Whitner would walk over and say, hey, this is what we're doing. So I just thought the confidence that the defense played with, and that just coincides with, again, you talk about the injuries, it's the group that went out and played confidently both up front and on the back end that stopped this Steeler offense.
And it was a D that made plays when they had to. You talked about earlier, Dante Whitner getting in the hole, meeting Le'Veon Bell straight up and stopping him. They have to kick a field goal. Then you go down the opening possession. It was that fake dive and then toss that the Ravens used to pick up 30 yards on us and get, you know, right down to the one. We remember that. Didn't get sucked in. Gip made the great play to force the punt on the first series. They get down in field goal range again. I think they had first and 10 around the 30. Back-to-back sacks push them out. They end up having to punt at that position. We get a touchback on a close one down at the goal line. The D just was in that kind of bend but don't break mode and did a fantastic job. Offensively, though, you talked about how great Brian Hoyer is. The running game was great. The line stepping up. But, Jim, do you think there's a coordinator in the National Football League doing as good a job right now as Kyle Shanahan?
Well, let me put it to you this way. When they went in against the Saints, okay, and they had the home opener that day, you know, Sean Payton is a great play caller, and you really worry about going in against a guy like that. He can really get them on a roll. And yet I thought Kyle really outcalled him, I guess. Is that the way you would say?
Yep.
He outcalled him that day. I really do. I think that Kyle has done just great things, but his patience with the offense, even last week when they were down by that deficit, and they still remain balanced in that game when most teams would have thrown out all of the running plays on the sheet and just thrown the ball. I just think that that is a guy that's very confident of the people he's got.
Yep.
But the fact that they're all involved, I mean, as you know, last year it was really Cameron and Gordon, right?
That was
Yeah. But this year it's everybody. I mean, it's everybody. I mean, you know, Miles Austin is doing what you did in 2007. You know, Miles Austin's playing that professional role of, hey, listen, I'm going to find those sticks. I'm going to get a stride or two beyond them, and I'm going to give you a target, and you're going to get a first down, and there's the third down situation. Yeah, and
I sat on the panel the other day for Tailgate 19 and was talking with Bernie Kosar, and Dick LeBeau's name was brought up. Dick has been around the game of football for a long time. He's a Hall of Fame coach. The guy has done great, great things, and one of the comments that was brought up was that Dick's had a couple weeks now to prepare for Brian Hoyer. There's more film on him.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but the flip side of that is a guy like Kyle Shanahan has also had the same amount of time to conjure up something, and that came true. We saw what he was able to do. He's a young, energetic coach. Let's be honest. He's got a little bit of swagger to him. And all that play, it's feeding off on our offense. And we just saw what a young, hungry offensive coordinator can do.
You're right. And you know what, as a defensive guy, you know, watching that football game, and I think what Kyle Shanahan does extremely well is, and I talked about earlier, he plays to the strengths of these players.
No question.
Shuffling guys in and out. You talk about a guy like Miles Austin. You're not going to ask a guy like Miles Austin to run those deep routes. That's our Benjamin route.
Yeah.
So, or a Gabriel route. So he understands the skill set of these players, and he shuffles them in and out of the game, you know, in different packages, putting them in situations to succeed consistently.
And the genius of him going out there. We ran a lot of three tight end, one wide receiver personnel in this game and hit big plays off of it. You had the one to Cameron, the first one to Cameron, the same play on the opposite side of the field to Jim Dray, and the touchdown to Cameron were all out of that same personnel. One of them, you had Gary Barnage come across, and we talked about blocking James Harrison.
That's an MVP play right there. Because if he doesn't make that block, then we don't have a touchdown.
No touchdown.
You're right.
Hoyer might have a split chin.
Establishing the will with the run, staying committed to it, as you said, and then utilizing that misdirection, all that action on play action, which you wouldn't necessarily think, hey, that suits Brian Hoyer, but it does. It does. He's perfect for it.
Well, you know, Barnage gave Crowell a great block on that touchdown.
On the touchdown right as well.
He sealed that corner.
It may have been a questionable type of a seal, but it was a there was no flag. It was well done.
Well, you just have a guy that, but you know, Brian right now, he's living the life. I mean, he really
living
is.
Living a dream.
Living a dream.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, he is enjoying it, and he enjoys it. He's doing the interviews. He's not hiding away or anything. He sat a long time, and he watched, and he listened, and he learned, obviously, and then to be able to do it, and he got a taste of it last year, and it was almost cruel. I mean, you know, he wins those two games, and then he bootlegs out, he runs, and he his knee tears.
Sure.
And he just got a taste of it, and then he's just enjoying it, and he looks like he's having a ball out there. I mean, he really does. He does not look tentative ever.
No, not
you know,
at all.
Ever.
And I think that's being portrayed when you watch the offense take to the huddle and he calls his play. The guys are looking at him. He's patting him on the back. He's encouraging him. He's doing everything that you would expect from a top caliber quarterback right now in the National Football League to do. Guys have bought into it. He has become the apparent leader. I mean, there's no questions asked. He is the leader of the Cleveland Browns.
No question. Calm, cool, collected, the poise. No matter what situation, you get the same Brian Hoyer out there, and I think it's kind of carried over. And I'd also like to give a lot of kudos to the defensive side of the ball, especially Jim O'Neill, because it had been a little frenetic on defense for a while. Substitutions, not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
They seemed calm in this game. They knew what they were doing. He said he simplified things, and obviously they respond to that very well. Now, Jim, you've been around this team for a long, long time. You've seen a lot. Last year, after five games, people forget they were 3-2. Here they are, 3-2. How different does it feel to you, and why?
Well, it just feels different because they're so first of all, they're scoring points. You know, they really are. And as I said, it's not gimmicky or anything like that. I mean, they're really scoring points. I mean, they're not doing it on fake punts or, you know, fake field goals.
Trying to have a manufacture point.
Yeah. There are drives, and sometimes they're real short drives. I mean, you know, yesterday they were 4 and 5 plays, weren't they, a couple of times?
Yeah, we were hitting chunk plays.
Right, chunk plays. And the other thing is I think the defense is going to get better. I really do. I think they are going to grow. You know, a lot was put on them, and obviously early we just took it for granted that, you know, even though it was a new system to them, it was going to be great and they were going to be dominant, but it's taken a little time for them. And I think they're going to get better now as this goes along. And I think the offense is just going to continue to grow and probably stay on a nice, even keel that they're going to score. They know how to score right now.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
We'll take that all day long. 21 points in each of the first five games for the Browns team.
Yeah, think about this, Nathan. Since halftime of the Pittsburgh game and the two Steelers games, look at how the Browns dominated Pittsburgh. The second
six
half
quarters,
in Pittsburgh and the four yesterday.
Right, you know, if I could bring this point up, too, and this kind of goes to what Jim's talking about in years past, the younger guys that we've had on this team are now older guys. They've been here for a few years.
Sure.
So you start to learn as the veterans, and now there's more veterans on this squad than we've had in years past.
Yeah.
And when you have the younger guys coming into the game, now they have somebody to look up to and knows the little nuances of the game that make you that much better.
Yeah,
and certainly you're right, outscoring them 55 now to 13 in the last six quarters against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You'll take that all day long. You talk about the 21 points. The last time the Browns had 21 points in five straight was 2007, and the last time they did in the first five games was 1969. So these are fairly historic games here for the Cleveland Browns and what they're doing. And it is exciting. The schedule gets very nice. teams they play 1-16 over the next three games. So the Browns need to kind of keep it going. And we are halfway through the Josh Gordon suspension. So good to be here at 3-2. The offense coming right along. Certainly a great game. Jim, always a pleasure.
Thanks,
great
guys.
On the call. Lots
it.
Of good highlights. Thank and hopefully we'll have many, many more next week. This has been the Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll be back. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicious, and you, 216-578-0850. Call us now. The rest of the show, it's all about your reaction here on a Victory Monday. Hand out your three game balls. What did you see that you loved? Where do you think this Browns team is really making those strides? Let us know. And you know what? Next time the Browns are at home, go to Blue Point, tailgate with oysters, Bloody Marys, incredible food, valet parking. That is pre-gaming in style. Again, go to Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com for reservations and get the best seafood in the city of Cleveland. Great people watching on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. We'll be back with more right after this.